Hey, I love it when there's kind of linking agreement from various ways God brings a message together. So Eve quoted from Isaiah chapter 7 this morning. Close enough. And Laurie and I have been dialoguing. Laurie's written a Christmas devotion that's going to form part of an email that goes out tomorrow. And that quotes the Isaiah 7 verse. And so this morning, I'm starting with this same scripture. So I think it's kind of sets up what I feel God wants to say today. So you ready? And today, we're lifting the curtain a bit on 2020. Today, we're lifting the curtain on the things that have been, I believe, in God's heart over the ages of the church. Today, we're lifting the curtain on things that I feel God wants to say to us personally, and lifting the curtain on what I think God would want to do in this area. So we're lifting the curtain, and you just kind of imagine, we have a slide there, but it's this kind of deal here where we're just thinking, so what's behind the curtain? What's going on? I actually couldn't resist. I've got to say this straight up, or I might forget. But I was talking to Jerry about that sign there, fire door, do not obstruct. And so we have obstructed it, but do not keep open. I actually feel the Holy Spirit is saying that there is a door in our hearts that we're not to obstruct. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel like the Holy Spirit who comes sometimes as fire, sometimes as a still small voice, but I feel one of the things we're going to finish with, indeed, the verse that I cannot let go of as I have been doing these last few weeks is, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I feel today, right now, okay, we're going to talk about some stuff, but there is a fire door. And there's an entrance door that we need to keep open to the Holy Spirit. Do you say amen? And do you get what I'm saying? And don't obstruct it. Don't obstruct it. So here we go. Isaiah chapter 7. And it says this. Let's get myself together. Isaiah 7, and it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, it's probably one of the most favorite beginning points to anything that the Lord ever says is the word behold. I love the word behold. It's an invitation to look. It's an invitation to get ready to see something. It's an invitation to look behind the curtain. It's like the curtain's going to be raised. Do you understand the word behold? Behold is an anticipation for what it is God will show us that presently or in the past has been hidden. Do you get that? And so today we're going to do some behold type talking and share around this idea that God is raising the curtain. I believe he's raising the curtain. So behold. The word Emmanuel, I have been looking at what this word means, and I feel it is very key for what the Lord wants to say today. The word Emmanuel is to do with this idea. Normally, it's to do with God is with us, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. And I believe that is a truth, absolutely true. But as I've looked into it more deeply, I actually feel it is additionally saying God is like us. God is among us. God actually is embodied in flesh. This is the first time, and I just marvel at Scripture. We need to glory, don't we, in how the prophet in 840 BC received this word that is only used about Jesus. It's repeated in the book of Matthew, the word Emmanuel. And this is the incredible thing. Many of us, and certainly the Jews and the Hebrews, understood that God, deity, was the high God. He was El. He was the hero, really. Whatever superlatives you want to put to describe who God is the Hebrews were familiar with that. But this is the first time there's this thought that the hero God who dwells in heaven, Yah, the one who shouts on the clouds, who's the cloud rider, Yah actually is embodied in flesh. This is the first time. This is a thing to behold. Do you hear what I'm? Do you understand? This is the first time that there is this incredible thing called the incarnation or carnation, embodied flesh. This is the first time. This is a brand new thing to behold, a brand new phenomenon, a vision of Jesus. I'm talking right now about three beholds that I think we just need to get as we go into this morning's sermon. A vision of God in flesh. It's never happened before. Something that actually sets up the whole hope of our own salvation, the whole hope that we can be flesh and be human and God can come inside of us and we can be born again and we can actually have God living in us. Can you see how this is a behold moment? God has never ever lived inside a human before. It's far more than God is with us. It actually is God is in us. Do you get that? I want you to notice that it is actually the word plural us. The word Emmanuel is not for you, and it is for you, but it's not just for you in your own lounge room and by yourself in private doing your own kind of walk with God. That's a good thing, but it's actually an us word. It is God with us. The usness of God, the plurality of God is in us. This is why these gatherings are so significantly important in our Christian experience, because the beholding is getting the truth that God is within us. He comes within a people. Not just a person. Not just a person. So a vision of Jesus. Behold, the witness of God is indwelling, and it's like the best possible version of a home invasion. I just felt this language of home invasion. Home invasions, I don't know if you ever had one. We have been robbed, but we weren't in the house. Home invasions are horrible things, but when God invades us, it's a wonderful thing. An invasion into the very home of your heart is actually what is kind of sketched out by this incredible phenomenon of Emmanuel. So vision number one, behold number one, the thing that the curtain was raised on by Isaiah prophetically all those years ago was a vision of Jesus. Then secondly is John the Baptist, who also had a vision of Jesus and used the word behold. So the second behold in my sermon this morning is when John the Baptist looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist, like Isaiah, in a different sense, was prophetically seeing who this man was, what it is his destiny was about, what it is that he would do for the world, what it is he would do for you and I. But part of my beholding point with John the Baptist is this, that John the Baptist also had this understanding that he must increase and I must decrease. And I just really feel today it's important as we head into 2020. I feel like the Lord is inviting us into a fresh stepping into decrease. I have a word on my heart that I'll share really for 2020. It's the word influence. And we're going to talk a bit about that in a few minutes' time. But to be an influence in the kingdom is completely different to being an influence on Instagram. The word influence, without in any sense, I'm not having a go at what that represents in a marketing context or people who are influential, but understand the pathway to influence in the kingdom is completely different to the pathway to influence in the world. And John the Baptist was one who actually paid the ultimate price for decrease. He was beheaded for actually recognizing who Jesus was and for staunchly foretelling him. But the beholding, the raising the curtain that John the Baptist, he said, "Behold, look at this man. Look at the wonder of who he is. Look at what he will do." The third behold, as we move into sort of the main part of my sermon, is a vision of the church. A vision of the church. So we have a beholding of who it is that Jesus as Emmanuel is. We have a beholding of this Saviour, this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we have a beholding that the Apostle Paul, for example, steps into when he just beholds the wonder of what it is for Jesus to live inside a people called the church. It is a stunning phenomenon for us to freshly get inside of our hearts and our imaginations, this wonder that incarnation, that was God embodying flesh, in what we live in today in the New Testament church, we actually live in an incarnation time where Jesus embodies a people, the body of Christ. Do you understand? We actually are the incarnation of Jesus. Each of you have a part, each of you carrying gifts, each of you carrying callings, each of you carrying understandings of who Jesus is. You are part of this wonder that really we're lifting the curtain on again. It's not like it's starting today, but when Paul saw in all the understandings that he received from the Holy Spirit, the church, he understood the wonder of what it is that we're part of today, that we are one body, there's one spirit, right? There's and Ephesians 4. So three things on my way into really what I want to preach about. So I have felt, and I've shared this with a few of you, that God is saying about 2020 for us at The Hive. This is a completely new act, a new act. Now, some of you have been journeying with us for a few years, some of you only recently. We have been in this area for, you know, some 7 or 8 years, and God's done much, and he's taught us much, and we're grateful to him, and he's done wonderful things. But we really felt, even as we just waited and prayed, and we feel like God's saying, hey, you're coming into a season. It's not just a new chapter, it's not just a new like a new part. This is like a significantly different and fresh act that I'm bringing you into. Why do I use the word act? Well, it's what I felt God whisper, but I love the notion that the Acts of the Apostles actually is often called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The sense of a new act for me is God is going to do more than we could ask, dream, or think in this coming day. Does that sound good? And I feel like he's saying the year ahead is a year of influence. And I want to say that I feel God just reminding me in my heart all over again, David, it's not about numbers. It's not about just wanting growth for its own sake. What I actually desire for you and for The Hive is that we would have a greater influence. However, I want to predicate that by saying that a greater influence only ever comes about when we give the Holy Spirit a greater influence in our lives. Do you follow what I'm saying? Influence is born out of the extent to which we give God influence ourselves. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not intoxicated with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So five things I want to talk about in terms of influence. I believe, firstly, number one, as we think about influence, and we have a couple of graphics which are those arrows. So influence always comes out of me decreasing. I have a book at home that's about preaching with graphics, and then Drew gave me a set of demographics and graphics that are connected to understanding Hornsby, and they had these arrow symbols for things that have actually decreased in Hornsby, things that have gone up in Hornsby, so I have an arrow there. But here's what I think will decrease as we get into 2020. I think our obsession with ourselves and I think selfishness will decrease. I think, I'm not saying that we're a selfish people, but I feel like God's going to work on our hearts, that I feel gossip will decrease. I feel he's going to work on our hearts such that love will increase. I feel he's going to work on our hearts such that sometimes our own issues and preoccupations will decrease in significance, and we're going to say yes to God more on some things, and I feel there's going to be a shifting, and I feel even as I'm talking, you will know some things in your own lifestyle or maybe in how you're living that God just wants to decrease. That might be less TV, it might be less social media. None of these things are bad, but some things will decrease in order to make room for a greater influence of God in your life. Does that make sense? Some things must decrease. Some of you may be keeping company in certain situations. I don't know. This is not aimed at anybody, but some of us need to make choices for who we gather with, who we hang with, our friendship circle, all those sorts of things. Some things must decrease if we're going to make an increase for God in our world. Some things must decrease in our time management if we're going to make time for more of God and keep the fire door open. John the Baptist was that man. So a radical obedience, I believe, is part of what will define 2020. The Lord put in my heart, just to remind you of two stories, Achan, the man who hid some stuff just after a major victory, and in that season God said, that's no good, and God exposed that person. I think of Ananias and Sapphira. I believe there are certain times when God moves where he is also very, very focused on our hearts and things that need to be adjusted or repented of. And I think we're coming into a time in 2020 where there's going to be an acceleration of God moving, and there'll also be a time when things will be exposed and God's actually going to say, no, I'm not happy with that. That's the Holy Spirit's work, but we give him freedom, don't we, to convict our hearts. So I believe there will be a greater influence in our own ability and willingness to radically obey. Point number two, I believe there's going to be a radical Jesus influence on how we love each other. I'm amazed at honestly what I think God's doing in our community. I celebrate how he has helped us, integrate in these last few months between, the church group who were formerly here and the Hive. Some of you weren't part of that, some of you were, but I want to give him thanks, but I want to say I believe he wants us to go further. I believe he wants to knit our hearts together even more. I believe he wants us to be so aware of a radical affection that only comes from the heart of God. I believe he wants to birth in us a radical loving community, and it will truly be the case that they will know we are Christians by how we love. I believe there'll be a radical demonstration. I believe we're going to see more ethnicity, more racial groups, more people from different parts of the world come in here, because that is the mark of the gospel, that because of the gospel that there is no male, female, Jew, Gentile, you understand, slave or free. The gospel actually is that highway of love and radical love. I believe we're going to see something that is out of kilter with the statistics that are normal in church life in Hornsby. And simply that, we will see a greater mix of people than is normally found in one space. Rather than segregating, and I don't understand every reason why we would segregate, but I believe God wants to do that work. I believe we're going to see a greater mix of generations because of radical love. Because of the radical love of Jesus, I believe that we're going to see that reality that is prophesied in the book of Joel when we open up the fire door to the Holy Spirit, that young men will see dreams and old men will see visions. I believe those two things are meant to happen in the same space, in the same church, at the same time, not having relational segregation across generations. Anybody say amen? I believe we're going to see a greater freedom denominationally, where we will no longer think so much about you're from that church background, you're from that church background. I believe the Lord wants to birth in us a radical love that is birthed upon the reconciliation power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that denominational backgrounds, whilst we celebrate our heritage, is not actually the thing that will build the church God wants to build, and I believe we're going to see a greater freedom and a greater measure of oneness and unity across the church, not just in the Hive, but across Hornsby. Who believes for that? We're going to see the church being one church. I believe we're going to see a greater influence of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 is a beautiful verse about I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe we're going to see radical evidences of the power of the gospel as we move into 2020. I'm excited by various expressions of things that are sort of bursting out in and around the Hive community. I'm excited for the men's group Laurie's involved with. I'm excited for an initiative in Eve's Heart to gather women. I'm excited for another initiative which we've already discussed with the guys who manage this place. We want a midweek space to rent that we can have mothers and we can have babies or preschoolers and do do things that can gather and connect. I'm excited by others who are involved in other community things. I'm excited by the multicultural lunch. I'm excited by the things John Locke is involved with. Here's the thing, there's more going on already in our church than what can be contained or expressed through one person, through one minister. That's exactly the way it should be, because all of you are the ministers that Jesus is raising up to actually be vessels for the explosive power of the gospel. I believe we're going to see radical changes. I've called it a year of influence in divine accounting, or alternatively, divine recalibration. I believe we're going to see, just like I preached about a few weeks ago, 5 loaves, 2 fishes feeding 5,000 people. I believe we're going to see some things that will happen out of this space that cannot be explained in normal kind of accounting language. I believe we're going to see this wonderful truth where each of you are shapers of ministry. I believe we're going to see a greater sense of ownership that springs up in the hive, where because this is your church, you will actually be shaping and helping to express the church. It won't be just like this. Now, there's another number I've got on here, which is the number one. I want to say two things about number one. I want to say, firstly, that number one is an expression of unity. Number one is the number for unity. Number one is what God is doing here, where we are one body, where there's one spirit, where there's one gospel, where there's one word, where there's one Jesus, one Lord, and one Saviour. Number one is when the wonder of the Trinity that is also one captures us, and we are one. That's one. But one as well is one body. What one is not is one minister or one pastor to whom everything is expected to be done, or where everyone comes and just kind of receives and clocks on and goes home. One is one body. One is a vision of all of you having gifts, of being kings and priests, of being shapers of ministry. One is, I believe, what will truly cause the Church of Jesus Christ to have influence, because one requires submission. That's a very hard truth, but it is the truth. To be one, to be actually who we're created to be and designed to be in the Church of Jesus Christ, requires mutual submission, requires each of us listening, submitting, forgiving, giving greater grace, giving latitude for in situations where we think, I couldn't work with that person. One is a belief that the gospel speaks to that. One is a belief that the gospel actually is the power of God unto salvation, that salvation is not just a salvation moment. It includes that, but it's actually finding salvation within a relational context, or finding salvation within a financial crisis. That is actually everything that the salvation gospel really is. So fifthly, as I move towards my close, the fifth thing that I think will increase in our year of influence is actually interruption. Divine interruption. Who likes being interrupted? I've got to say, I'm not a fan. Just ask Eve. If I get on my track and I have my jobs to do and my task list and things that I'm setting about doing, the thing that kind of aggravates me is if I'm sort of called off that focus. I can be a tunnel vision person. But I believe, because of that fire door, 2020 is going to be a year where there will be more heaven-inspired, ordained interruptions. We had one significant interruption last year, or this year, did we not? It happened in August. Some of you were not here, but August was when July, I think, actually, when the whole circumstances came about for us to move into this building. That was a interruption, but it was a good interruption. For me, that was a complete and wonderful validation of it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. I want to stand here and say, I don't know how to grow a church. I believe the Holy Spirit does. And I believe that with all of our gifts, God will grow his church. But I believe by my might as the leader, by my strategies, by my thinking, those things are helpful. But I believe it is by my spirit, the Lord says, that I will actually build. The promise to Zerubbabel came in that moment when Zerubbabel wanted to give up. I'm quoting the story from Zechariah chapter 4. But I believe God is saying, I'm going to send you more interruptions in 2020. And they're going to be good interruptions. I believe we're going to see a greater frequency of interruptions. I want to celebrate and give God freedom to come and do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to interrupt our plans, then praise God. If he wants to bring in a change, praise God. If he wants to do something that looks like it might be inconvenient, then praise God. Let's give him the freedom to come in through the fire door, because we're making room in our hearts. We're letting some stuff decrease that other good things can increase. And I say, God, we want more heaven invasions. I wonder what you're taking into 2020 that is right now an unresolved or a challenging circumstance. I wonder what that is. I encourage you in my heart that if we have a conviction that as we let Jesus increase and as we make way for our own hearts and our own things to decrease, as we radically love, as we radically express the gospel in different parts of our lives and hive things and non-hive things, as we enter into divine accounting and as we make way for interruptions, I believe we're going to see some magnificent supernatural expressions next year of what God can do with a people who give him the freedom to do what he wants. So, Emmanuel. You know, there are forty-one percent are young families with children under 15. 41%. In our community, 30% will say they have no religion. In our community, 30.4% are born somewhere other than Australia, and 14.6% are born in China and are part of our community. In our community, there are some 30% who actually have only lived here for 1 year. We have a staggering opportunity to love. Why did we mess up the building a bit today and change it around? It's not because I actually think this is, you know, the bee's knees solution for seating. I want to thank Jerry, by the way, for helping to pull it off, and Richard and Linda. But we changed this space around today because if we're going to really make way for God to increase, and if we're really going to decrease, it's going to get a little bit messy in the hive, in a wonderful way. It means we're going to be making space for people that maybe we normally wouldn't hang out with. It means we're going to make space for people that perhaps even can't speak English. It means we're going to make space for people who might not necessarily look like we think a Christian would look, or might have things going on in their world that are not actually where we think that God would want to take them. But here's the point. I believe that God wants us to behold and to be willing and to be pliable to actually shift around in our hearts and our priorities to make way for what he wants to do. And I think there's a wonderful opportunity. There's ideas that Tim and I have been brewing on for reaching certain parts of our community. There's so many things that are already birthing, and there's so many things that I don't even know about. There's things which is good I don't know about. There's things God's going to do that I completely don't know about. But I encourage us today to behold, to open up our hearts to behold. We're planning on February the 2nd to have what we're calling a relaunch, Sunday, February 2. Simply, we think it's a great opportunity to re-acknowledge to the community locally, there's a church here. It's a great celebration to acknowledge to each other when we relaunch, God, you've done marvellous things, right? You've actually brought together two churches, and it's incredible, and we didn't actually ask for that, but you're doing wonderful things. It's an opportunity for us to kind of start. It's not like we're going to change the name of the Hive or anything like that. We're still going to be who we are, but it's a wonderful expression of kind of starting again the year with this belief that, God, we're in the right place at the right time. You're calling us to be a people of influence. We want to give you more influence. And God, we're hopeful, we're optimistic, we're praying into connecting to our local communities. So that's February 2. On February the 15th, we'll launch back into the Hornsby Mall with our Bedford van. And we are having discussions, as I mentioned, with PCYC for a midweek venue. We're having discussions with PCYC for a space for children's ministry. We're having discussions about that room directly on the other side of the storeroom. We're just wanting them to know. We want to make space for what God's going to do, and we want to have kind of favour with how it is the Bedford, I beg your pardon, with how it is that we can actually reach those 41% of families in our community. Do you follow what I'm saying? Thirdly, we're having discussions with PCYC. How can we bring the Bedford into here? How can we use that? So we're engaging with different multicultural expressions, including in the lunch that happens on Friday, and we are positioning ourselves to have a greater measure of influence that comes as we give God more space in our own hearts. So to finish, how's everybody going? I feel like I said a lot of words, but here's how we're going to finish. I invite you to consider what is behind the curtain of your own heart today. Only you know, and God certainly does, but it's like, would you just give the Holy Spirit permission to search, according to the psalmist, search me, O God, and see, like, is there anything in my heart, God, that you would want to change? Anything that you want to deal with? I believe that's the first step to a greater influence. I feel like God said to me, he gave me this word last night. He said, David, I'm increasing the speed of trust. I'm increasing the speed of trust. What do I think that means? I think where maybe in 2019, we might have taken a week to trust God on a matter, or maybe longer. I feel like maybe when we would have taken more persuading in our earlier years as a Christian, God is offering us an increase in the speed of trust. In other words, from when we get that little nudge from the Holy Spirit to when we respond, I believe God's closing that gap. Does that make sense? That's the speed of trust. I believe that the Lord would want us to say, yes, Lord, I want to give you more influence and I want to trust you and respond quickly. So I'm asking you today, are you under the influence? Don't have any Holy Spirit breathalyzer. And this is God's business. You know what is under the curtain of your heart. But God is calling us as a people to be under the influence. He's calling us to be completely inebriated in a good way with him, right? He's calling us back to our first love. He's calling us to a point of intoxication where we cannot exist without him, where we're just thinking about our next drink, do you understand, of the Holy Spirit. He's calling us to look behind the curtain. I believe we can't really behold unless he first of all has freedom to deal with our own hearts. But I believe as we give him that freedom, God will drop dreams and visions to all of you, because that's what he promises. It's the work of the Spirit, Joel 2. I believe as we give him more freedom and more space, I believe that God is going to speak to us and speak to you. And I believe things are going to happen that as we let him come through the fire door, as we remove obstructions, what can an obstruction look like? It can be an unconfessed sin. It can be an issue that you're just not prepared to deal with. I don't know what it is, but let's be a people where there's no barriers to what the Holy Spirit would do. Can we stand? So, Father, thank you. What a incredible reality you invite us into, where all of you lives inside of us. What an incredible reality where the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. It's mind-blowing, but it's what you invite us into. It's what the gospel is. It's what our reality is as new creation, as new creatures. It is our reality. So God, today I just want to bring you this wonderful people, every one of them, God, every life, every thread of history, God, every moment that has taken place in past. God, we want to make it freshly your story. And Father, we want to just simply bring you our yes today. And I just invite you quietly, if you can feel like you can genuinely give God your yes, would you do that? Just say it in your heart, just whisper it. If you feel like genuinely you can give God your yes to searching out your heart, then would you say, search me, God, search me. And if you feel like you would like to receive the grace for an increased speed of trust, would you just hold your hands out in a gesture to heaven? That in the miracle of how God leads us in our Christian walk, could it be that part of his amazing grace is actually helping us to trust him more? How wonderful is he? I believe that's our good Father today. So, Father, I just release that grace in Jesus' mighty name upon everybody who desires it. God, a capacity for a greater measure of trust. God, a capacity to move more quickly in what it is that you're saying. And we celebrate you, God. How good you are. And we give you thanks. Come on, family, let's praise him this morning. We thank you, God. God, we want to behold you most of all. We want to behold you, God. We want to behold you, who you are, Jesus. And we want to see you, God, more clearly. And we want to give you our lives. And we say thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo.